Welcome to the Buckhead Church Podcast. If you want to learn how you can be more engaged with our church, check us out online at buckheadchurch.org. Or you can connect with us on Instagram, Facebook, or Twitter. I hope the following message inspires you to take the next step forward in your faith journey. Check it out.
Buckhead Church, we're back again with our podcast, and just want to remind you, this is a resource to inspire people to follow Jesus at home and at work. One of our most successful episodes during the this crisis has been with our present company, Rodney Anderson, no stranger to Buckhead Church. Rodney leads a bunch of stuff at Buckhead and has for years, and his incredibly intelligent and thoughtful wife, Sarah, who does a bunch of content writing for an organization in Atlanta that helps families and kids and students. Sarah, hey there. Hey, Rodney.
Hey, it's good to be back, Clay.
Thanks for having
us. You were talking about introducing me, and at the end, you were talking about being intelligent and thoughtful. I thought you were going to say that to me, but
it was about you
as a transition into Sarah, which is also true. But
is it true? Hey, here's what this topic is for today. The couple episodes that we've done over the last month is really around parenting in the pandemic, which have been really successful, I think, because, or at least people seem to have been downloading them, because I think every parent is going, any help would be great.
We're all figuring this out.
But in conversation, Rodney, you did something for our staff that wasn't, it's not just about parenting, but we are going to, toward the end, apply it toward parenting. So those of you that are parents, I hope this will be really helpful for you. But if you're not a parent, I think this is going to be really helpful for you as well. You dropped an illustration based on a news article, and then you applied it in a way that is some of the most helpful and remarkable forecasting and predicting that I've seen, which all of us are there. We're all trying to figure out, how are we going to be different on the other side? How is this going to change the world? Everyone's saying we're not going to go back to normal, but we don't know what exactly that means. And I feel like some of the thoughts that you two have put around it is really remarkable. So I'll let you just pick it up wherever you want there.
Yeah, I don't know if this is going to be helpful in terms of answering the question where we're going, but this has given me, it's given Sarah a really great illustration to think about it in a unique way. And just like you and like everybody probably listening, I mean, I think God speaks in so many different ways. And when I read this article on CNN, I just felt like God was saying something to me, however it is that works. But the article, and a lot of the listeners may have seen this article, was about a city in northern India, the Punjab? Punjab? That sounds right.
That is right. This is crazy, Rodney, but my brother-in-law, Jenny's older brother, used to live in that area and work with those people.
Unbelievable.
Which is crazy. Yeah, so I need to send him this link and ask him what he knows about this city.
Well, the city is Jalandhar, and the city is about 100 miles from the Himalayan mountains. And because of the small...
So sorry, 100 miles. I mean, that would be... Is that about here to Chattanooga? I guess Chattanooga's probably a little bit further than that from Atlanta, but...
Yeah.
Maybe about that, yeah.
It's not far, especially when you're talking, you know, the Himalayan mountains. I mean, those things are huge. You should be able to see those for quite a long distance away. But for the last 30 years, because of smog, because of pollution, the deteriorating air quality in that region, they've never been able to see the Himalayan mountains. Yeah. And so there's people in that city that have grown up there. There are adults that are there that have never seen the mountains from their balcony. And because of the crisis, they stopped driving cars. They stopped going to work. The factory stopped producing pollution. And after a couple of weeks in, they looked up and were able to see the mountains for the first time in 30 years.
Wow.
And when I read that article, I just couldn't help but immediately equate that with what we're all going through right now.
That's right.
We've been living our lives. We've been going. And the mountains have been there the whole time. It's not like these beautiful, mountains that God created. They were never not there. it's just the way that they were living didn't allow them to see the beauty that was right in front of them. And I think because we have slowed down and stopped doing some things, and it's been hard, it's been difficult, but I think we've set our eyes on something beautiful maybe. And how do we make sure that what we're looking at stays in front of us and we don't just go back to the way that we were living life before?
That's great.
Hide something beautiful. So I think in this, God's speaking to us in a lot of ways. I think he uses nature. And in this way, I think he's said, hey, there's some things that we need to pay attention to and not go back to.
Yeah. So that's the question. That's a beautiful setup. What in this case, clearly the noise has been turned down. The pollution has been turned down. Our lifestyles, our busyness, the hecticness, the frantic way we've been living. What do you see as the Himalayas? What is the mountain range that we can now see?
Well, I think that for a lot of us, we got used to outsourcing a lot of the things in our lives, whether that was, you know, grocery store shopping or teaching our kids or the spiritual development of our kids and taking them to church or, you know, coaching and sports and all this different stuff. And when COVID happens, now it was, we are no longer able to outsource. And so I think initially there was that sort of panic about,
like, oh no, how are we going to get our kids educated?
That's right. Will they still be able to read by the end?
Right.
And I think what we found is that through, you know, it wasn't easy, but I think what we found is that we're a lot more capable at doing these things than we thought. Wow. But we never would have discovered that if all the other things hadn't been taken away from us. And yeah. So I think it wasn't without its growing pains, but I think in a sense, the Himalayas is this idea that we are more equipped to parent our kids than we think we are, and that we can do it. We're just we're more resilient, more capable.
Yeah. What are some other illustrations of that? Because there are so many things that we're doing now that we didn't even know we were capable of, but we're now doing.
This is what's so great about it. And Sarah, you set it up so perfectly as far as what we're more capable of. I think we're more capable than we thought to lead our children and our homes spiritually. One of the things that you guys have also seen is that, you know, early on, and it's still difficult, you can't find yeast like anywhere
in
any store.
Right.
People just went baking crazy.
Yeah.
Which is so odd in a crisis.
Yeah.
People that never bake go back to the most elemental thing to do, bake bread. You can't find seeds anywhere. Everybody's gardening.
Right. Planting stuff, growing stuff.
Yes. Yeah. And I was listening to, she writes a lot for The Atlantic. Her name's Caitlin Flanagan. And she was commenting on the fact that because we can't find yeast and you can't find seeds, she said, homes for the first time in a long time are becoming centers of productivity instead of centers of consumption.
Wow.
And I thought that was really insightful, that homes now for the first time aren't just there to transport our kids, sleep, and take Instagram pictures of to make our homes look like HGTV.
Right.
We're actually doing stuff. We're creating stuff.
Right.
We're making stuff. We're doing things in the backyard we've never done. And because we're made to be productive.
Yeah.
And I think we're seeing that spiritually too, to tag along with what Sarah said about how capable we are. We are so capable of producing spiritual in our own families and not necessarily having to rely solely on the church to do it for us.
Well, one of the main reasons why we don't try things that we could own and do for ourselves is because we don't think we actually can. I mean, most people that have tried to quit some habit, you know, whether it's smoking or some kind of weight loss deal or a diet, a lot of reason why they end up stopping or quitting is because they just think, I can't do it. And so I love that we are now in a season where we're finding out, oh, wow, maybe I actually can. Maybe I can. If they're out of bread, no worries. I'll just make some of my own, which is, we've just never thought that way before.
No.
And Sarah
talked about this mutually, like, kind of dysfunctional relationship.
Mutually kind of codependent relationship between families and churches, and that families felt like, I can't do this. We'll send our children there and we'll give you money. We'll tithe.
Yeah.
You take care of the spiritual development of my kid. And the church's like, great, we'll take care of it because you're keeping our doors open by tithing to us. And it's kind of been back and forth. And now it's like, wait a second. What if instead of insisting you bring your kid here to get what they need to do, we resource you as a family to do what you need to do in the home. That's what we're finding, that it's not that we're having these spiritual hours together, you know, on a Sunday morning, or finding that there's ways to really integrate spiritual conversations into the everyday life that we're having, that it isn't this set aside hour or this thing that we're attending so much as these ongoing, unfolding conversations and experiences that are allowing us to integrate spirituality into our homes.
That's beautiful. So Rodney, it's not like you or Sarah are walking around preaching Andy Stanley type sermons every day.
Not every day.
Okay.
We have set aside Andy Stanley sermon moments, but no, there's a lot of tears and yelling and there's crying and there's
frustration. Just today.
Yes. Yeah. All of those things. But, and look, we're both professional Christians, but I was having a conversation with a family in my neighborhood last week, and they're just a family like everybody's normal family, not professional ministry, anything like that. And the dad was just talking about how thankful he was that he now kind of had charge of Sunday morning, of when his family was going to be able to watch and take the responsibility for that. And he's like, I've never had that before. And he goes, I've kind of welcomed it. And I just was like, I need to tuck this story away for the podcast with Clay, because it was so perfect. It just set it up perfectly of just a regular family going, I'm enjoying this for the first time and I've never done it.
But I don't think that I love that. I don't think you would have said that 6 months ago. I think it's only been the situation.
It's the season that almost forced his hand, almost helped him realize he could do something that he could have done all the time.
Yeah. Yes.
But he just never realized he could until he actually had to.
Yeah. Which is what the beauty of crises. And I mean, do you want to say the beauty of a pandemic? No, but there are always beautiful things that God does with stuff like this. And out of this is coming this sense of resilience and capability.
We've talked in the past couple of weeks too about that idea of apocalypse, that word, and that it's, you know, we hear that word and we think of like these apocalyptic zombie movies, end of the world scenarios, but what it actually means is this uncovering and revealing of things. And I think what we're seeing in this season is it's uncovering and revealing in a really positive way what we're capable of. I think in the early part of this pandemic, it was revealing our addictions, the crutches, the things that we kind of used to stay busy. When that was taken away, it was really hard. But I think the second kind of layer of this apocalyptic moment is showing us the beauty and the potential that can come out of it that we never would have discovered if everything hadn't been stripped away, in a sense.
So I love that big message. And I want to drill in on that for just the last few minutes. You are capable of more, and you are capable, parents, of leading your family, of helping your kids develop spiritually. And you're also capable of your own spirit, of leading yourself in your own process of spiritual growth. So let's talk about that. What does that mean for people? What does it look like for people to own their own spiritual growth? I mean, clearly we, as a church leader, I love that people want to come to the church for that, but it's going to cause us to shift as church leaders to go, hey, we want to help equip you to be able to own your own faith. But what does that look like for people to own their own faith?
I think the church has always believed people are capable. And I think what we have always wanted is to resource families, for parents to lead their kids. We've wanted that. And I think in some level, parents have wanted it as well. But we, you know, the church maybe didn't really believe it, and parents didn't. You know, as long as the church was continuing to provide the weekly deal, we were happy to go, just do it. Private schools, private schools, educate our kids. Churches, you just take care of this for us. But what it looks like first, and we can get more practical, but it really does, it starts with a belief that you can do it. Not that the church is not going to be irrelevant. The building's not going to be irrelevant. We want to go back. We love that.
Yeah.
But it no longer is going to be the primary way or primary source that we're going to use to grow our families and our children's spiritual growth. So I think it starts with the belief that we're capable.
Honestly, the first thing that came to my mind is what we talked about in our last podcast, when it comes to having parents own the spiritual development of their kids, but looking for these natural rhythms in the time of the day to introduce natural conversations. And as adults, I think it's really paying attention to what this season's gifted us. I think it's given us time to have more silence and more quiet and more rest and stillness, more time to be outside. And so I think part of it is not just introducing more doing, like, okay, so spend more time reading your Bible, more time yep. praying. Instead, it might be engaging more of the senses and slowing down and quieting yourself and really paying attention to, you know, what's happening internally. What, you know, what are the voices that you're listening to, you know, positive or negative, that are causing you to behave one way or the other. So I think we can really tune into this season and see what it's given us and use those things, the silence, the stillness, the lack of busyness, to kind of help move in a more spiritual direction.
Are you seeing this in your family, Clay? Like, just how your kids are interacting this season? I mean, is our conversation, is that clicking with what you see as being true with you guys?
Yeah, for sure. I think I have sensed that side of me that wants to go, oh, the spiritual development of my kids, oh, that happens on Sunday from 9 to 10 at 3336 Peachtree mm-hmm. Road. Peachtree Street, whatever Buckhead Church's address is. I think I just butchered it, but yeah, to now that has been taken away, Sarah, I love what you're saying, that it's those little moments. It doesn't have to be relegated to that hour on Sunday. So it's, just 2 days ago, I'm putting our kids to bed. I say putting them to bed. I'm yelling at them saying, please go to bed enough. Okay. one of them said something that spurred on this conversation that I thought, okay, I'm just going to take this moment. And we ended up sitting there with our older two kids having a conversation about a friend of ours who just lost somebody in their family.
Yeah.
And I just had never had that conversation with them. And I thought, you know what? This is Sunday school on Tuesday night at 8 o'clock, that it doesn't. Yeah. Sunday school doesn't need to be just on Sunday morning at 9 a.m. I'm using that Sunday school term because that's what I grew up going to. But that, yeah, I think those lines are no longer blurred. They're becoming more blurred, I should say. They're no longer this clear delineation between, no, that's the church's job. That happens there. Right. I'm having to go, no, I'm going to have to start stepping up and having some of these conversations. And I think, Sarah, you're absolutely right. It's in those, it doesn't have to be on the Sunday morning times. It can be in those dinner times, the breakfast times, the going to bed times.
I think also that it's a gift to our kids. I think it's allowing them to see a depth to us as not just parents, but as individuals processing some of this stuff with them, that they're not just seeing us as being in charge at home. They're seeing us as being more rounded people. And I think that is a gift, that we're becoming more fully human in a way, and as people, and not just as a parent, and they're doing the same thing as kids. So I think really tapping into those moments and allowing us to have conversations and not just answering questions with concrete things is allowing us to develop a more holistic relationship with them.
I love that. Any other thoughts on how people can own their own faith, or any other summary thoughts to wrap up this discussion?
Well, I think most people I think most people kind of know what to do. I mean, we're not going to come up with any revelatory new ways, you know, we're 2000 years into church history. It's all
we're still praying. We're still reading our Bibles. We're still getting in conversations with people about who God is and what does he think about us?
All of those things. But, so the resources are out there, and, you know, I love Buckhead Church, and there are so many other churches that are putting out incredible resources. Sarah's company, Orange, puts out incredible resources for families. And I think it's just now when you have the belief and the capability, it's like, let's just take these resources and how do we weave the things that are out there now into the rhythm of our family and build from the inside out instead of from the outside in. Let's build from the family out instead of from the building in. And I think I think everybody can do that.
That's great. If the Himalayan mountains in this season are that the mission of our church to inspire people to follow Jesus becomes the mission of a lot of homes in our community, that the mission of our home now is to inspire each other to follow Jesus. I think that is going to be a mountain range that we should set our eyes on and continue to revel at.
Sarah had the best line, and she was talking about the last Reformation the church went through. So 500 years ago, Martin Luther kind of led the Reformation. And she said this, she goes, the last Reformation was from the pastor to the people.
Yeah, power
the power is transferred from the priest to the people. this one could be, you know, from the building to the family. And I just thought that was amazing and put great words around the mountain that we're looking at.
Well, we've said it for as long as we've been a church, that what happens in the home is more important than what happens at church.
Yeah.
And we're really getting to put our money where our mouth is at this point, because it better be true now.
Oh, it better be true. So,
I can just promise you, to those listening, we as a church, we're going to continue to do everything we can do to equip you to lead your family. And it doesn't have to feel like a burden. It really can feel light, and it can feel it can really feel exciting. And we just want you to know it really is possible. You are, I love that line, you're capable of more than you think you are.
Thanks for having us, Clay.
Thanks, Rodney. Thanks, Sarah. Until next time, go bake some bread. We're going to do it. All right, see ya.
Thanks for listening to the Buckhead Church Podcast. If you'd like more content, you can always check out our services live or on demand at buckheadchurch.org. And if you want to experience community anytime, anywhere, go to buckheadchurch.org/groups.